Hi, I'm Dave DeWitt, and today I'd like to talk to you about judgment for believers, that is, believers in Jesus Christ whose sins are paid for because they've already received Him as their Savior. Here's seven things we know from the Bible about judgment. First, everyone will face judgment after this life. Ecclesiastes 12:14, for God will bring every act into judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it's good or evil. Jesus said in John 5:28-29, do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear His voice and will come forth, those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life and those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. Okay, so the first point is that everyone will face judgment after this life. Second, unbelievers will be judged for their sinful deeds and thrown into the outer darkness lake of fire. Since they're judged for their deeds, I suspect there's probably different degrees of suffering in the lake of fire. I'll read you the Great White Throne Judgment passage in Revelation 20:11-13-15. Then I saw a great white throne, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he's thrown into the lake of fire. So the second point is that unbelievers will be judged for their sinful deeds and thrown into the outer darkness or lake of fire. Third, believers will also be judged after death. Their good deeds are rewarded, their bad deeds are not punished, but they hinder their ability to have good deeds. Romans 14:10, for we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Notice judgment is for each one. There's no group judgment. So to review, the third one, third, believers will also be judged after death. Now, the fourth point is Jesus Christ's death on the cross paid for the sins of the world. Romans 5:18, so then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. 1 John 2:2 says, and He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for those of the whole world. Hebrews 10:10, by this we've been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. 2 Peter 2:1, there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them. So the fourth point is that Jesus Christ's death paid for the sins of the whole world. Fifth, the payment Jesus made for the sins of the world is only applied to those who receive it. As many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on His name, John 1:12-3:36. For he who believed in the Son has eternal life. He who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. That's John 3:36. And then Jesus in Matthew 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life, does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. Hebrews 11:6, he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So the fifth point was, the payment Jesus made for the sins of the world is only applied to those who receive it. Six, judgment for believers is about rewards, not punishment. Believers in Jesus Christ will not be condemned to the outer darkness or lake of fire for their sin, because they've received Christ as their Savior, thus applying his payment to their sin. John 14:2-3, I go to prepare a place for you, Jesus said. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Romans 5:9. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So the sixth point is judgment for believers is about rewards and not punishment. Seventh, believers should strive for heavenly rewards. We should serve Jesus because we love him. But if we love him, we'll keep his commandments. 2 Timothy 4:8, in the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will reward to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all those who love his appearing. James 1:12, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. 2 John 8, watch yourself that you do not lose what you've accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Revelation 19:8, it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen of the righteous acts of the saints. So the seventh point was believers should strive for heavenly rewards. Here's what we know about the sequence of events after a believer dies. Putting together the information we have in the Bible, this seems to be the sequence. First of all, death occurs when the soul or spirit leaves the body. The most concise definition of death, I think, is in Genesis 35:18, where Rachel died giving birth to Benjamin. It says, for her soul departed, for she died. So death is the departure of the soul from the body. For the believer during the church grace age, that means being in the presence of the Lord. So first the soul leaves the body, then that soul is in a temporary bodily form with the Lord. There's no such thing as a ghost. We're always in some bodily form. 1 Samuel 20:8, Saul conjures up Samuel from the dead. Matthew 17, we have the Mount of Transfiguration where Jesus appears with Moses and Elijah, and they're in a bodily form. Luke 16:19, we have the story of the rich man and Lazarus and their bodily form after death. The next thing we know is at a point in the future, there's a resurrection of all the believers of this church grace age, where first the believers who have died and then those who are still alive receive their resurrected body. That's the event that's often called the rapture of the church from John 14:1-3 and 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. It appears that we, the church age believers, are rewarded before the second coming of Christ. If the church is the bride of Revelation 19:7-8, so the judgment seat of Christ for believers occurs before the second coming. Peter makes a comment that sounds like the judgment is at the time of or after the rapture. He says in 1 Peter 5:4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive an unfading crown of glory. Believers remain in the presence of God through the end of the church age and the 7-year tribulation on earth until the second coming of Christ. At the second coming, rewarded believers return with Christ and reign with him for 1,000 years. After the 1,000 years, this earth is destroyed, and all believers enter into the New Jerusalem. Here's what we know about the judgment seat of Christ. The rewards for believers are for works which build upon the foundation laid by Jesus Christ. I think probably the most detailed description is in 1 Corinthians 3, So I'm going to read verses 11 to 15 of 1 Corinthians 3. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it's to be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built upon it remains, he'll receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he'll suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. James 1:12, James says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. The gold, silver, and precious stones in Paul's illustrations are what's built upon the foundation that's established in Christ. That foundation is the salvation we have in Christ. It's important to understand keeping commandments will not make us part of the foundation. We only become part of that foundation by personally receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior, because he paid for our sins with his death on the cross. Keeping God's commandments builds upon that foundation. But keeping God's commandments requires knowing the God of the commandments. The better we know God, the better we understand his commandments. He's a God of truth and judgment and holiness, but he's also good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness, according to Psalm 86:5. So we cannot keep the commandments of God if we do not know the character of God. Without the knowledge of God, keeping commandments are just religious, legalistic rituals easily perverted by men. Hosea 6:6, for I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Romans 10:2, Paul said of the Jews, for I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Tom Constable summed it up well, I think. He said, to overdo the sorrow aspect of the judgment seat of Christ is to make heaven hell. To underdo the sorrow aspect is to make faithfulness inconsequential. Thank you for listening. A longer paper on this subject with additional references is available on our website at relationalconcepts.org.